back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. It's amazing how many times I start to say Ebling and You and I say the Jack and Tom show or vice versa. And part of that is experience that goes back to 2002 when I first had a chance to host a show in talk radio with my Saturday morning partner, Tom Crawford. Then was the sports page with Jack and Tom back on 92.1 or 92.7 The Ticket. And now here we are at 1320. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great tonight, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, and looking forward to tomorrow's show. It's going to be our final show here at 1320 together on Saturday mornings, and looking forward to some great banter, some people we've wanted to talk to. I'm sure that a lot of familiar callers will be joining us, and we got a few things to talk about. You can certainly ridicule the Michigan State basketball team if you care to.
Yeah, you know, Jack, and I will do that. Trust me, I'll take any opportunity I can. And so I'll be all over that Syracuse game with Michigan State. In fact, you know, looking back at that game at Madison Square Garden earlier this week, Jack, I don't recall ever seeing Michigan State under a Tom Izzo-led Michigan State team give up that many points in the paint. I was just baffled by that. What were your thoughts about it?
Well, I felt exactly the same way, and I can tell you that when they got back, they had their first what Izzo called good practice in a long time yesterday, and it included the old war drill.
I'll bet.
Four,
when that one's coming in.
Four different times, Tom. Four different times practice was punctuated by the war drill. So
wow.
Maybe Michigan State will play a little differently against Oakland, but you know, Scott and I were talking last night, and I see some structural issues with this team.
Yeah, but I think when, you know, I think they'll play really good tomorrow night and be physical. You know, just the fact that Michigan State being out physical and being, having a guy get, you know, 15, 16 rebounds. I mean, some of these statistics that we're seeing is a little strange, particularly with our accolades going into the season. But I'm smart enough to realize and historic enough to realize that he'll get this thing turned around and come March and early April, as a matter of fact. I'm sure Sparty will be there.
We saw Michigan State dominated inside by Chaminade. We saw Michigan State dominated inside by Connecticut, men, not women. And I thought Michigan State was in a situation where it was pretty fortunate to go 2-1 in Maui the way it played. So a lot of things it needs to work on. And it's got Texas coming in about 11 days, so we'll see what happens then. But Michigan State's got some work to do, and if they don't get the old Kalen Lucas back, they don't get some consistent play inside, if they don't stop turning the ball over 20 times a game, they're going to be hard-pressed to finish in the top three in this conference.
Yeah, I think, you know, when Austin Thornton's playing, and I think he's a tough kid, he's a walk-on, I think, you know, I think really highly of him, but he's playing a lot of vital minutes, and obviously that's because Kalen Lucas and the whole the depth of the team, you know, in fact, Kalen's been hurt and trying to get healthy and stuff. Once the ship gets right in that regard, I think they will be there. But, you know, and they have so much accolades, Jack, going into this season.
Yeah.
That's part of it. You know, Michigan State's kind of a predictable program in that regard. And this goes back to Judd Heathcote, you know, when you think back. Whenever you expect the most out of them, they kind of maybe fall a little bit short. And when you really are kind of, you know, not expecting much of them, and then they deliver a knockout punch for the season.
Yeah, and that's something we will watch. But I think, you know, people say, well, how's Chris Allen doing? And they miss him a little bit. I've never been one to wave the Chris Allen banner by any means. But I can tell you that a lot of people thought they'd get more from Keith Appling at this point than they have. And with Adrian Payne and Keith Appling combining for 3 points against Syracuse, it's going to be very difficult for Michigan State to win.
Yeah, you know, and I was all over that Syracuse game from a Michigan perspective. Guys said, hey, the Wolverines only lost to the Orangemen by three, so they made them look pretty big. But you can't really compare game to game because a different scenario, and Syracuse had another game against NC State at home that they barely won. So I think they just knocked it out of the park, so to speak, when they went to the Madison Square Garden against the Spartans.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another big event tomorrow in Ann Arbor, and that is the Big Chill at the Big House. Are you going to be stopping down in Ann Arbor?
No, I'm going to pass on that. I watch it on TV. I think it's on FSN. I'm not a hockey guy, but obviously I'll watch it from the novelty standpoint and 110,000 fans. You know, obviously Mark Collis and Michigan State's got to take ownership over the whole this concept, though. I'll be the first to admit that back in 2001. I remember I was at the Michigan State-Penn State game at State College and getting a cell phone call talking about all the people there. My wife was there in the 2-2 tie, and what a great situation, what a great scenario that was. So they cornered the market on that, and now Michigan's just going to take it to another level in terms of the attendance numbers.
What does it mean that Michigan could have 11 consecutive home basketball games and not have as many people there as they're going to have tomorrow for a hockey game?
I know they got. I think they got Utah tonight, if I'm not mistaken. But they didn't. You know, then they had Concordia College, which I just could not stomach playing an NAIA school on Tuesday. Although, you know, they still have sprinkled in there some tough opponents. Obviously, yeah. Syracuse, and they got Kansas, I think, in January. So. You know, it's the same old thing, but I'm so glad I'm not a season ticket holder anymore and traipsing down to Ann Arbor for these games, because that would frustrate the heck out of me when you're playing just a bunch of teams like, you know, that doesn't matter. And I don't think you gain much out of that. I'd rather take the Michigan State template and get exposed and find out what your problems are and fix them before conference play starts.
Tom Crawford, my co-host tomorrow morning on the Jack and Tom Show, will be on from 8 to 11, taking your calls, and we'll have a number of special guests on as well. Tom, when you think about football this time of year, we had the award show, the Home Depot Awards, last night from Disney, and I've actually been to that production. It's quite a deal out there on the boardwalk. But we had that. We have the Heisman Trophy ceremony on Saturday night. And last night was very interesting to see the outstanding contributions to football award given to Lee Corso.
Right.
And yeah, did you see his speech?
Yeah, I did. You know, and it shows you how he's an emotional guy, and he's had these health issues overcome. And you think back to that trio of, you know, Kirk Herbstreit, Chris Fowler, and Lee Corso. I mean, that goes back to, what, 95, 96, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it was 93.
93, rather. Yeah, I stand corrected on that. And when you talk about something, you know, 17 years and how much fun that crew has, I mean, you can see it from even the commercials that they put together, and you can see the emotion that Lee Corso was exuding in that. And I was really, I love emotion. I love people showing emotion, and that was a great moment. And that's been that Thursday night production of the awards that Chris Fowler does a great job with that. That's something I never miss, and I watched it last night.
Well, it will be very interesting to see with the Heisman vote if Cam Newton gets a vote total representative of his dominance over the course of this season. I don't know that many people who said they wouldn't vote for him based on what has happened. There are a few. I talked to a couple who said that they just were not going to consider him for the ballot, but he did have an interview last night with Chris Fowler, and it's the first extended interview he has done dealing with any of these things, and talked about his closeness with his dad, who will not be at the Heisman ceremony.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah, the whole thing is it's unfortunate, but when you look at his body of work, and I use that term, everybody uses that term, I'm right on top of that one as well. It's unbelievable when you watch the athleticism that he exudes when he plays. You saw it in Alabama in that great comeback win. Comeback victories was his, you know, the hallmark for, you know, Cam Newton. So I think he's deserved of it. And unless you have some real hard credence, you know, evidence that, you know, there was wrongdoing there, you know, just vote him in and vote who you think is the best player. In my mind, if I had a vote, he's the best player. So I ask you, Jack Evelyn, who did you vote for?
I voted for Cam Newton. I have a vote and have since 1983. And I thought that was a pretty easy decision, but I'm going to talk about my ballot because I really had five guys for three spots, and we'll go over that tomorrow morning. We'll compare how we would have voted on that and maybe get some of our listeners' opinions on who the number two and number three people would be, assuming they would vote for Cam Newton. But hey, maybe they won't. Maybe they would. Maybe we find someone who says that, you know, it's got to be somebody else. Maybe it's got to be Kellen Moore. Maybe it's got to be Luck. Maybe it's got to be James. There are a lot of people who were candidates for this award, at least through much of the year, and then he just seemed to separate himself. And anytime you lead your team back from 24 down at Alabama, that's the stuff of legends.
Oh, absolutely. And Alabama could have closed that thing out. You know, the fumble sticks out in my mind. Mark Ingram's fumble, they could have just sealed that thing away. But that's the way football is, and he embraced the opportunity, brought his team back, and certainly deserved that award, in my opinion.
It's interesting. You mentioned Mark Ingram, and Scott and I were just talking while we were waiting for Aaron Bates about the opportunity Michigan State has to play Alabama, even though Michigan State is ranked higher than Alabama in the polls and in the BCS. I don't know that many people who think the Spartans are going to win this game.
No, this reminds me so much of that Georgia situation a couple years ago. And Alabama's really good. And what Michigan State's offensive line can do against that D line is going to really dictate. Michigan State gets that running game going. Look out. You know, this could be like 2000 against Florida.
Yeah.
But if they don't, anything falls short of that, I think Alabama's just too talented and probably take care of Michigan State.
Talk to someone who had just done a story with an NFL scout. And the question was, if you had one place to go before the draft to scout NFL talent for this draft, where would you go? They said Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Slick Nick, man. That guy's got a recruiting down to a science. Great talent down there. And I don't see that changing at all unless he leaves. And who knows? He might get, you know, restless, and maybe he might end up in Gainesville, Florida. Who knows?
Hey, he might get restless. He might wind up in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I don't think so.
What do we know about that? We'll talk a lot more about that in the morning. But any news, any indication? You're on the inside there a little bit. Do you hear anything about what's going on, backroom stuff?
No, I mean, all I'm hearing about is basically analogies, you know, from experts who don't know any more than anybody does. And the fact that David Brandon and his mom on this thing and not endorsing Rich Rodriguez, leaving him twisted in the wind, just tells me that January 2nd or January 3rd or whatever, when Jim Harbaugh is done with his bowl game, he'll be the next head football coach at the University of Michigan.
Do you think it matters if Rich Rodriguez wins or loses this game?
I think it's irrelevant, and actually I don't think he's going to win the game anyway, so that's a moot point.
Well, do you think it matters if Stanford wins or loses its game?
No. I just have a gut feeling Jim Harbaugh is coming to Michigan. You know, it's nothing, there's nothing. I just think that the job has his name written all over it. The timing's perfect. All his former teammates it's just all there. It's all there, and in my mind, it's going to happen. And I don't have to back it up because I won't be on the air, and no one will be able to call me up and call me on it. You know, so.
Well, they'll be able to see you in your blog. You'll take credit for nailing it. So
email me on my blog so they can bust me on that one. But I really think he's definitely going to come to Ann Arbor first week of January.
You know, we'll talk about this tomorrow morning before I let you go, but our friend Jeff Furman, that we worked with at the Ticket.
Oh, yeah.
I had a chat with him last night about a couple of business things, and he was talking about knowing Jim Harbaugh. I said, how do you know Jim Harbaugh? Well, apparently his son was at the Stanford camp, and his son at Eastern is a brilliant student and would love to walk on at Stanford or somehow be part of the Stanford program. And he spent some time with Harbaugh there last summer. And I guess Jeff said to him, you know, the rumor is that you're coming back to Michigan and you're going to be the coach there looking ahead to 2010. And Harbaugh dismissed it. And I said, well, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to say, yeah, I got my ticket. I already just bought it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But he said, you know, a lot of people don't know that I grew up in Palo Alto. I went to Palo Alto High School.
Yeah, he did. Well, when Jack took that job out of Stanford, right. His dad. You know, because my sister taught him in that Clegg Middle School, You know, he was a, you know, he'd follow Rick Leach around the locker room. He was a Michigan man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a Michigan, you know, quarterback, captain the whole bit. He's coming to Ann Arbor, Jack. Heard it here first on Evelyn and You.
Well, we'll talk more about that in the morning, Tom. And really looking forward to our last Jack and Tom show here on 1320. And I'll see you in the morning.
Okay, Jack. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll be right back with our final segment. Make one more attempt, see if we can find Aaron Bates. We'll be right back. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.